Absolutely. Praise God. This is a message that everybody can relate to. And so we don't want to leave anybody out tonight. So we found something that's going to be good. No, by the leading of the Spirit of God, I believe this will minister to you tonight and help you immediately. I believe that when you come to church or you go to church, I believe you should have information there from the Spirit of God that will give you something immediately to help you. As you, I always say, before you leave, you'll be better off after you leave the church, because you got something from the Lord. So thank God tonight. And we're going to talk about how to cope with depression. Every one of us at some point or another has some dealings with depression, and we've had something, you know, hopefully you hadn't had really severe depression. I mean, you could have severe to mild depression. Everybody has somehow suffered in some fashion depression. There's not one person in the world that hasn't had this. So every one of us can understand. And in fact, you might not even understand this, that you've had it and you didn't know you were suffering from it. And you were wondering what was going on in your life. So we're going to educate you and give you some information and give you some awareness, and also give you some things that you could apply immediately to help you get out of depression. And so that's what we'll do tonight.
Right. Everyone needs tools. And there's actually a lot about, in the Bible, about depression. A lot of great people of God, men of God, suffered depression as well.
Yes. And we want to look at that. We'll go get right into it right now. I'm reading the New King James Version. And Proverbs chapter 12 and 25, if you're at home taking notes, or you're on the road or somewhere watching us, listening to us, you're at somewhere, we want to thank God for you. And I believe we should have a little prayer time right here, and pray that God will bless you and help you, Holy Ghost. We're going to pray a prayer of submission submission to God, and begin to yield to Him tonight right now. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we yield our whole vessel to You, our spirit, our soul, and body. We bring to You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for all that's contained in the Bible, that every promise in the Bible is yes and amen. And so I want to thank You tonight by the Holy Spirit. You said that He will be with us and He would help us. And we say yes and amen that it is true, that He will indeed help us. And everyone suffering from depression will break out of it, will come out of this situation. And no matter how long they've had it and how severe they've had it, they will come out in the name of Jesus. We give You praise for victory in advance, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, New King James Version. The Bible says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. As a supporting scripture, I want to go to Psalm 42 and verse 11, the New King James Version. The psalmist here is talking to himself, he's talking to his own soul. He's saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, man is three parts. First of all, he's a spirit being. He possesses a soul. We'll talk about the soul in a moment. And he lives in a physical body. These are three dimensions of a man, or three parts of a man. And there's no other parts. People say soul, and you know, when they talk about it, people say soul and mind. It's the same thing. It's just that people don't understand it, so maybe people break it up in different ways. And there's only three parts of man. The Bible tells us so. And many, many scriptures reveal that man is a tripartite being, like God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so if we want help, we're going to have to follow and see what the scriptures say. So he says, why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. And the CEV Bible, the common English version, says Psalm 42, verse 11, why am I discouraged? Why am I restless? I like this because, you know, the King James and some versions don't have the common everyday, you know, verbiage and expression. And we miss some of that, and we wonder, what is that about? So He said, I trust you, O Lord. I will praise you again because you helped me. And you are my God. Thank God he is our help. So as an introduction, let's just say a few things here before we get into the deep teaching here. If you ever felt down in life from time to time, it's because it's normal. It's a normal part of life where your body and your mind and different things gets, you know, a little heavy. And so everybody feels that way. But if you experience an ongoing sense of hopelessness, a sense of despair, there's no way out, this thing won't go away, then it's what we call clinical depression. It's something deeper than just feeling down, everyday dumps. People who suffer from depression have a hard time functioning and to enjoy life like they once did, perhaps. You know, people like to say, I wish I was a young again. I never had this before, you know, because they've never experienced any bad or issues. And as you get older, you know, if you don't have the resources and education and know-how and support around you and people educate you, you won't know how to deal with these situations. And so getting through the day may be overwhelming and for individuals and who suffer from depression. It's just hard to get over, you know, just a regular day. No matter how hopeless we feel, we can get better. Doesn't matter how bad you feel and how bad it's been. In the name of Jesus, according to the Word of God, you can get better. Amen. That's what he says. Hope thou in God, for I will praise him, for he's the help of my countenance and my God. So God will help you if you will just get on the right track here. So by understanding the causes of depression, and by recognizing the various symptoms and types of depression, we can take ourselves, or we can make the first step of feeling a lot healthier, and we can overcome depression. And so, in understanding depression, almost everyone has suffered some form of depression at some point, and understanding depression will make it easier to cope. So if you understand something, you'll find out solutions. So how can I cope? And I remember we had, you know, classes in college. I remember my first years of college, we had classes of how to help ourselves in some practical way and take some action and how to get out of depression. And so I was telling someone today, I learned how to do this in the natural. I mean, before I was ever a Christian, but ever born again, some people have some fantastic information out there that's not Christian. They know how to help people. And so you don't, you know, truth is truth, whether you find it in church or in the Bible. So truth is truth. And so if we find out what the truth is, we can help ourselves. So it's easier to cope if you have information. So, but how do we handle this depression? Very often it will cause you to feel so low, so depressed emotionally, you can't seem to get out of it. So Psalm 119 verse 25, I'm reading the New King James Version. He says, the psalmist said this, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. You know, you can feel so low, you're eating dust, or you're just so low. And the Bible says, revive me according to your word. Thank God for the word. Can you say out there, thank God for the word? Amen? Thank God for the word. And the word is the source of our supply. It helps us in this time. So, what is depression? You know, let's read Psalm 18, verse 14. I'm reading the New Living Translation here. Psalm 18, 14 says that the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? You know, when your spirits are so low, when your emotions are so low, who can bear? It's tough. I'm talking about, you know, without God. It's a tough life without God. You know, I often say this, and you've heard me say this and around here, I don't know how people live without God. I don't know how they function without God. And it's got to be his mercy and compassion. So first of all, depression is a soul problem. We talk about what is depression. It's a soul problem. So people talk about, you know, my spirit is cast down. So they don't understand the Bible divides the spirit and the soul. Your spirit is where you got born again. Your spirit is the only part of you that got renewed when you come to Jesus. So your spirit, we talk about the spirit and the soul, the same thing, but no, the soul is the main part where we get crushed and we get hurt and we have feelings and we have, you know, the will to live and so on. So the soul, first of all, the depression is a soul problem, has to do with the condition of our minds or our mentality. So it's lots to do with your thinking. And, you know, when you have so much trouble that you can't see your way out of it, and you can get so depressed. How can we ever get out of this? So our minds are part of our soul, where we experience consciousness or awareness. We experience emotions in our soul. Our soul has the intellect, our thinking ability. And it's our soul is where we make our decisions, our will, in making these processes. And so our minds will affect our physicality or physiologically our bodies. You know, when your mind is depressed, when you're affected in your mind, it affects how your body functions. You know, chemistry happens in there and all this kind of stuff happens. And so if you can just get a hold of your mind, that's why the body talks so much about renewing the mind. Because if you can get a hold of your mind, you harness your mind, you can never get so low that the devil can get a hold of you. And he has entry points in people's lives through the mind. And that's how he gets into the people, is through the mind. And so our thinking is so important in our lives. Saints of God, people of God, learn to harness your mind, and you can control how you feel, and your body will follow along. So thank God for that. So.
And the Bible also talks about strongholds, so you can get those patterns of thinking that you've maybe had all your life. You know, maybe your parents kind of passed that way of thinking down to you. So those strongholds can keep you bound.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You have to break those.
Yeah, so it's embedded there because it's like, I remember somebody teaching us about the mind or the brain. You know, the mind, of course, the mind and the brain are two separate things. You know, the brain is a physical part of man. But the soul or the the mind is part of the soul, which is the part there of the soul of man. So they're two separate things, mind you, but it affects us. So we have to learn how to take care of our brain or our mind. We feel lots of numbers and different things, facts in the mind. So our minds often are physically affected by our thinking, or at least our mind affects a chemistry part of our body. So depression is common and can be a debilitating mood disorder. It can be more than just sadness. So in response to life's struggles or setbacks, depression, this depression changes how we think, feel, how we function daily in our daily lives, our daily activities. It can interfere with our ability to work, study, eat, sleep. Some people, when get depressed, they actually sleep, or they can't sleep. It affects them different ways. They can't enjoy life. If you're depressed, you can't really enjoy life. You're just like, you're always on hold or something, you know. You can't enjoy what everybody else is enjoying. You say, I wish I could be like that. So the feelings of helplessness is there. The feeling of hopelessness, worthlessness. You know, it's not worth living, you know. And so that's what people feel. So can be intense, unrelenting, with little, if any, relief. And so today, I was talking to Pastor Ken, and I went over to see, a program in our city that's highly been on TV and the news lately, helping kids, you know. And we made a visit with the leader of that organization, and of course our ministry made a contribution to them, and we want to be a partner of our city in helping kids. And so we went there, and he showed us this board about these children that was involved in the program, and he said, oh, this one here is gone, that one died, this one, this young lady, she hung herself, and this one, you know, did the same thing, and different ones died, you know. And so these kids have somehow was so depressed, they ended their own lives. And he said, this is a problem. And so this is why we have this program down here in the main area of the city, one part of the city. And we want to help these people. And so we want a part of that. We want a part of helping the kids in our city. And so we want to partner with these people. They're not spiritual people. They're not necessarily Christian people, but they're people who want to help people. And so we want to partner with those people and help them in our own city and be a light to them. And so we had a great time. So these people, this depression affected them so much that they couldn't function in life. And so a lot of them ended their lives. And a lot of our First Nations community over the years, we've seen it over and over again. Sometimes they come in bunches because of such a depression and hopelessness and unworthiness and a sense of worthlessness in life. You know, why should I be living? Why can I? Why I don't see any hope in there. And the psalmist says, there's no hope in life. So why should I go on living? And so this is where people are at. They have no answer for anything. And so there's a depression. And you know, here's what I said to you earlier. I said, you know, there right now in our nation, right here in the city of Thunder Bay, there's people that are having, they're in depression. They don't know it. They don't know it. And we have COVID problems. We have all kinds of problems, shortages and closures and limits and all these things happening. People are tired of this. And they're you know, the devil wants us to fight against each other. And struggle with each other. It's not a fight between humans. It's a spiritual problem. But there's human problems. And so people don't see any light at the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel. And they see total blackness. And we're going to see this in Scripture. That's what it says in Scripture. You're total darkness. That's what depression is. And you know, when I was a kid, I didn't realize I was in total depression for many, many years. And you know why I rejoice so much? When the Spirit of God came upon me, I got born again, and the veil, Jesus took the depression away, and most of it went away because I carried a little bit of it later on, and it wasn't until a certain time I learned how to use my faith to get rid of the rest of it. I've never been depressed since. And so I struggled for years with depression, and I did not know I was depressed until it was lifted. I remember the psychiatrist, I was sent by my doctor, my MD, sent me to a psychiatrist, and gave me a prescription, sent me to a doctor, and he sat me down, and they didn't know how to help me. And I didn't know how to be honest, I didn't know how to help myself even. And so he asked me a question, he says, are you depressed? And I didn't know what depression was. What do you talk about depression? I never heard that before. What does that mean? And I was so low. I thought, you know, maybe I'm the only one that feels this way. Maybe I'm going crazy. Does everybody feel this way? Maybe everybody feels this way. I don't know. Maybe it's the way it's supposed to be.
Maybe it was just normal for you. Right?
Could be. Yeah, it was normal for sure until Jesus came in my life. You know, there's a scripture says that, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 4, somewhere on there, 4:16, I think it is. It says that the people saw a great light. Matthew's quoting Isaiah. He said, the people in darkness saw a great light. And songs have been written about the light. I saw the light. There's a song called I Saw the Light. And you know what? When the light came in, the light of the glorious gospel came into me, the whole thing, everything seemed to vanish away. I mean, like I described, you know, life was so much lighter and brighter. Glory to God. Amen. That's what happened to me. It's the truth.
I believe it. I live with you. He's happy every day.
So what is he on? He's high on life. I mean, he eats sandwiches. Just happy eating sandwiches. We're talking to somebody today. Actually, Pastor Ken and I were talking. He said, you know, I just get high on life. Just eating sandwiches. Just eat a corned beef sandwiches. Man, that's a great high right there. So thank God for that. So people, you know, get so depressed they can't function every day. Their mood is so, you know, muffled up and they're oppressed, and how they think and feel and function every day has a huge problem. And a lot of us Christians who've never learned how to help themselves out of depression, you can help yourself out of depression by doing certain things, refocusing. Getting an activity, physicality, changing your mood by listening to good music and taking a bath, they said, even some people. Some people need to take a bath, I think, and it'll help all of us get out of depression. But it's important for us. I thank God for, you know, we can bleep out all these things later on. So remember, Mr. Editor, we have to bleep out some of these things. Okay, so so some people can have so intense, they have hopelessness, helplessness, unworthiness, and so intense, it's never ending, it seems, that they can't find any relief. Some people describe depression as living a thick black hole or having a feeling of impending doom that this is never going to end. There's no light at the tunnel. A sense of doom and gloom, a feeling of lifelessness, emptiness, apathy or apatheticness, and they're just existing. You know, they don't have any way to pull themselves out. So it says here that men in particular can get angry when someone is depressed. And I think some of my staff needs to hear about this. That sometimes when we get angry about issues in life and about things in life, it's because we're being depressed because of it. And so it tells us, science tells us that men react that way very often and get really restless. Mm-hmm. And no matter how we experience depression, if left untreated, it can be very, very serious. It could lead to serious health problems. So it's important to remember that the feelings of helplessness or hopelessness and symptoms of depression is not the reality. It's a reality of how you feel, but it's not the reality in life. You know, so there is light. So I don't know. Today is dark. What happened? Yesterday was 15 plus 15, 16 degrees. We're all walking with T-shirts on today. I'm putting on clothes and being protected from all the elements. So that could be very different.
It can change, too. And I like how you said left untreated. So it doesn't mean professional treatment. We can impose our own treatment, or we can get our own treatment, right, by being doing self-care, by getting spiritually strong. So yeah. There's a lot of things that we can do personally to fight depression.
Exactly. We can do that. So that's what we're trying to do, try to figure out how to do that. So there are plenty of powerful self-help steps we can take to lift ourselves out of these low moods and to overcome this sense of depression. And we can regain life again and enjoy life to a place. And a lot of people, you know, right now, I don't know, maybe you're out there right now, you're depressed, there's all kinds of stuff happening in your life. And you don't know what to do, but we have solutions for you, scriptures and science and education to help you get out of your situation. And we can help ourselves. We're not helpless people.
Exactly. And, you know, we're not the only people that this has happened to, not just in our time in our generation. I mean, if you look through the Bible, there's so many characters, people in the Bible that suffered depression.
Well, who are some of those characters?
Well, for example, Elijah. You know, Elijah, you know, he had great victories, but yet when there was a continual press of threats, you know, the queen threatened him, and he just went into a depression. He ran away and hid and told God, you know, I'm the only one, there's no one else, you know, and he fell into a deep depression. There was also Jonah. Jonah was depressed after, you know, he had followed God. It was a victory in some sense, mm-hmm. you know, and he just fell into a depression and wanted to die,
right.
You know, and God intervened there. Also David, you know, who had such great rejoicing in many of the Psalms, he went through a lot of depression. You know, a lot of his Psalms indicate that he suffered, you know, he had the highs, but he also had the lows. So,
right.
So
right.
Many, and Job, of course, our famous Job. You know, if you read through the book of Job, I mean, he was depressed.
He had a reason to be depressed.
He lost everything. He lost his health, lost his family, and yet he made it, right?
Right.
He was blessed in the end. But I wouldn't want to be Job.
No, for sure. I mean, they said about 9 months of his life, he suffered that. He lost his family, and he lost most of his property, and you know, he never left God. And I was talking to somebody today in a very hard situation in life where it affected them emotionally and mood. And we talked to someone to extent today, and just sharing a little bit, you know, sometimes just talking to someone, just sharing your life with them, stop by, talk to them, it'll lift them out of the depression and talk about something nice and shift their thinking. You can get out of it by just doing some of that. And that's what happens a lot of times. You know, that's why the doctor says, go exercise, do something, go for a walk, change the situation, change the channel. And so you're saying there are many biblical Bible characters who suffered from depression, some form of depression. Like you said, Abraham, Jonah, Job, Elijah, King Saul, David, they all survived and overcame depression. That's the good news out there, if you're listening. They all overcame, and they had severe problems. And how would you like to have a kingdom that doesn't want to follow you? you know, let alone our own families, right? So people want to kill you. I mean, you're looking after different things. And sometimes we tend to carry, as we mentioned today, we carry on the cares of everybody else.
Right.
We take on cares of other people because we want to care for them. And so we get depressed because of it, and we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to carry other people's burdens and to that degree that we can solve everybody's problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look at Psalm 38. David says, I am troubled, I'm bowed down greatly. So that's burdened. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are full of inflammation, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. So it was even affecting his physical body. You know, it was a condition of his soul, but yes, it was affecting his body. He was feeling it even in his bones.
So that's Psalm 38.
38:6-8.
And I was looking at different versions of that verse of scripture. Here's what the good news says. I am bent over. I am crushed. I mourn all day long. I'm burning with fever, and I'm near death. I'm worn out and utterly crushed. My heart is troubled, and I'm groaning with pain. I mean, this tells us that he's affected in every way possible. You know, what does it say about people who are sick and they're tired, they're hungry? What does it say about that? They make them a strong, someone who is a strong champion, into a mourning little baby or something. I can't remember what you told me that, but you can't remember right now. But anyway, he said, the common English Bible says, I'm hunched over, completely down. I wander around all day long, sad. My insides are burning up, and there's nothing in my body that isn't broken. I'm worn out, completely crushed, groaned because of my miserable heart. So this guy is severely being affected by depression, physical depression. Of course, physical depression, sometimes it affects, you know. So let's look at some of the common, let's just mention this common, and you can talk about some of the symptoms that are the most common things. So the cause of depression, people say, well, how did I get this depressed? Did I get a virus somewhere? Is there an antivirus I can take? You know, give me a shot so that I could never have depression again. Well, folks, sorry, there's no such thing as a pill you can take. Well, people do take pills. You can't take an antivirus against this depression. So many people have asked this question, what is depression? And so how did I get depressed, and what can I do about it? So there's not just one cause, but a multitude of factors why people get depressed. And it can cause us to fall into some kind of spiral depression. There's more than just one incident that caused the depression. There could be a series of problems or a series of situations that make people keep going down, and cause you to go on a spiral of depression, from a very severe situation to a mild situation where you're down. So depression is not only a result of some chemical imbalance in the body, and not just a medical issue per se, or a disease thing. So it's not just a chemical imbalance in the brain. It can also be, that can be cured actually with some medication. That's not the only solution. Like many people will resort to it because they've tried, maybe they've been at this for a long time and they might need help for some time, for a short time. So this depression or depression can be caused by a combination of biological, psychological, and social factors. Those three things. Biological, physiological, and social factors. So in other words, our lifestyle, our choices, our relationships, and our coping skills matter as much as anything more than anything else, more than the genetics. So we need to understand how, you know, how these, how our lifestyle has caused us to get into some kind of depression. So let's talk about it for a second. Being depressed is like stuck in a horrible pit. And this is how the psalmist described it. And so do you have the scripture there for Psalm 40? We're going to go Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. New King James says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps.
Wow. Once you get established, you can start walking again, having a great time. Two things he said. Number one, he got me out of a horrible pit. People explain depression as being in a horrible, dark pit where you're stuck in there, you can't get out. They don't see any way out of it. And that's the way the depression is described by this man here, the psalmist. Secondly, he said, a miry clay. Well, I don't know if you ever walk in mud. When we'd walk the dogs through the bush, and all the snow melted, and it came into all kind of mush, and it was all the mud on there was just so sticky. It was hard to walk. You could almost lose your shoe if it wasn't tied tightly. So it's like that. You just can't walk. You can't function. So he explains it as a horrible pit, and as a miry clay. You can't shake it. It just keeps sticking to you. It's so strong. It's pulling you back, pulling you down. So that's the way he explains it. So Elijah, as it says here, that he went into an emotional spiral, as you mentioned earlier. Sometimes after an emotional night or an experience, we can have a low that causes us to go down in our mentality because we have high expectations of what's going to happen, and we set high standards for ourselves that we didn't achieve to. And some people are depressed right now, disappointed, because they set a standard for people, expectations of people, that they put them so high that they didn't come to that level, so now they're depressed.
Or for themselves.
Yeah, or for themselves. They put their goal so high, they didn't give it in stages. They want to just jump right up there. So that could be sometimes. So Elijah suffered something that we would call the only me syndrome. He said, I'm the only guy that ever had this. I don't know about you. Maybe you're having this situation. Like many of us had a problem, you know. Like I'm the only one that has this problem. There's nobody in the world. I'm so unique. Nobody has this problem but me. That's what the devil wants you to think about. That you're the only one that ever had this. This is so rare, the devil, God himself can't figure out how to help you. So that's what we think, you know. The Bible talks about there. If you read over in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 9, and we're going to talk about the solutions. Okay, so let's go ahead. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. You'll have to bear with all the information. Some, you know, we want to get some of this over to you and talk about this. So let's look at this prophet. I mean, here's a man of God, anointed, great anointed man. He can see into the spirit realm. And God gives him gifts, and he's a leader and so forth. And leaders can get that way. And if you're a person like that, you're a go-getter, you can fall very low because you've been up so high. So let's go to read verse 1 of 1 Kings 19. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me, even by this time tomorrow. I have not killed you just as you killed them. So he's being threatened here. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judea, and he left his servant there, and he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed all that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he says. He said, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and beside his head there was some baked bread and hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai and the Mount of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So some people who are depressed tend to have a negative view of life. So this guy, you know, he just got really, you know, he got afraid. He ran. And of course, he did a great feat for God on his behalf and you know, did what God told him to do and confront those other prophets and so on and so forth and killed them and you know, and he ran away.
And it sounds exhausting.
Exhausting, yes.
He did a lot of stuff, burnt out.
He was overworked.
Yeah.
And the Bible said there, here's a solution. You know, this is a very nice solution. And then my dad used to tell me this. Son, eat something. Go ahead and eat something. You'll feel a whole lot better. At least he had that much information, you know.
He had angel cake.
Yeah, angel cake.
And he also got to rest.
That's the key. Angel cake is the key. We got to order some of this cake tonight. So let's talk about what are some of the risk factors for being depressed. What are some of the risk factors?
Okay, so just a couple of things. Well, and this is really prevalent right now today in our society, loneliness and isolation. Huge. It can lead to depression. Lack of social support, not having people
well,
in
your
life.
Well, those are two things right now that's happening to people.
Exactly.
Right now in our city and across Canada is loneliness and isolation.
Yes.
People are depressed.
Yes.
Lack of social support.
Yes.
Okay, so those are two huge things. So I'm telling you right now, when the Lord spoke to me earlier this afternoon, and Pastor Steve asked me, so what are you preaching tonight? And I said, oh, the Lord's going to talk to me. So I went for a long ride. I went to Lakeshore, and I started talking to God. I went all the way out an hour down the road and went along the side of the lake, and I talked to the Lord. And he talked to me. It's something funny, but anyway, he started talking to me about this, and he said, remember this, the teaching you had? I want you to share that, because there's many people out there right now in our city that need to hear this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So
as we're talking about these causes, I'm sure you're already thinking on the flip side of some of the things you could be doing to avoid these things, because these combined together can cause depression as well. Recent stressful life experiences. We saw that in Elijah's life, right?
My life, too. Stressful. And yours.
Yeah, stuff happens in your life. It's exhausting. It can tire you and cause you to be vulnerable for depression.
Mm-hmm.
Four is family history of depression. You know, genetically, we might be predisposed to certain things. That doesn't mean we have to live that way or live there, but we could be aware that, you know, hey, this is maybe a weak area.
Well, my mother,
strengthen.
The family history, my mother was depressed. She was in the residential school all her life, and I never saw her really, really happy. And she was always physically sick, always going to the hospital, getting rushed by the ambulance and can't breathe, anxiety attacks. And that came upon us. And that's what I got. And so because my family was so oppressed, and we didn't have much as well, and we struggled with this, you know, that's why when I got saved, I was really saved in terms of, like, it jolted me right out of depression. And, like, I mean, like, you know, I'm happy. I want everybody to know I was happy. And so... So the risk factor is that if your family was prone to this way, you're going to have some of this. So I don't know about you. If you're out there right now and your family has some of this history, it's probably on you right now, and you got to do something about it.
Right. Marital or relationship problems, that can be a huge area. You know, just being not at peace with people, with your family. Financial strain. you know, that's a huge area as well. You know, especially these days, people being lacking work or being off work and having to live on less, mm-hmm. you know, that can cause a lot of strain, or overwhelming debt as well. How are you going to get out of it? You know, that has led some people to suicide even. You know, just they don't know how to handle their debts. They don't know how to handle their financial situations. Early childhood trauma or abuse. That is also a huge area, and you know, we could talk a long time on all of these,
yeah.
but I'll just mention the other ones. Alcohol, drug abuse, you know, alcohol itself is a depressant, so you know, the more you engage in alcohol, the more it can cause depression mm-hmm. in your life. Unemployment or underemployment, and finally, health problems or chronic pain, or someone in your life who has a chronic condition, that can cause depression as well.
Yeah. So somebody's sore joints can affect you. So, you know, I could say all these 10 things you talked about, I've had all these areas in my own life at some point or another, and thank God we don't have a marital issue. Everything in our lives is great. You know, we enjoy each other. My kids always say, how come you guys, you know, you never are, you know, you're always together, you go teach at the college together, you're at the church together, work in Spirit Alive, you're pastoring together, you eat together, sleep together, what happened?
Sometimes well, they said, how can you stand each other?
How can you stand each other?
And we love each other.
So, I guess we could talk about the common symptoms of depression. What are they? It could be severe to mild, right? So, let's just kind of list these off quickly so that we can pray for the folks, and there is solution, and we can help ourselves. So, 10 common symptoms of depression: feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. We talked about that. A bleak outlook of nothing will ever get better. There's nothing you can do about it to improve your situation. That is depression. Number two, a loss of interest in daily activities. This is a symptom. You don't care anymore about anything, your former hobbies, your pastime, your social activities. It says, or sex. Man, if somebody loses interest in sex, they're really sick. They're really, really sick. You've lost your ability to feel joy and pleasure. That is amazing. How could someone lose joy and pleasure and having a great time?
It's almost like being numb, right?
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
numbness in your life.
And appetite or loss. Appetite or weight changes, significant loss and weight gain, change more than 5% body weight in a month, you know. Sleep changes, insomnia, waking up in early hours of the morning, or oversleeping at the same time. You can either or. Number five, anger or irritability. And that's what happens to me. I get irritable. or something like that, anger problems. Feeling agitated, restless, or even violent. Well, not that yet. Your tolerance level is so low, or your temper, you've got short temper, everything and everyone gets on your nerves. You're angry and irritable. I mean, that's half the world, I guess. Anyway, loss of energy. Feeling fatigued, sluggish, physically drained. Your whole body may feel heavy, or even small tasks seem exhausting, like, take out the garbage. I can't take the garbage. I'm so depressed. It seems things are so exhausting. Everything takes so long. Self-loathing, feeling strong feelings of worthlessness or guilt. Harshly criticizing yourself, seeing your faults magnified and your mistakes, huge mistakes. Reckless behavior. You engage in escapist behavior such as substance abuse, compulsive gambling, reckless driving, or even dangerous sports. Concentration problems, trouble focusing, making decisions or remembering things. You can't, you know, you lose focus. 10, unexplained aches and pains, increase in physical complaints. And that's what the psalmist said, my body's aching. Headaches, back pain, muscle aches, stomach pain, it's all those. Those are just list little bit things that talk about it, and so we can go on and on and on here, but the thing is that there is a solution. We can help ourselves, like changing our mood by changing our thinking a little bit, get into the Word of God, start eating food. Like you got to, some told me at one time, you got to eat by faith. You know, just, you don't feel like eating, just eat by faith. I mean, that's easy to say, but it can be done. You got to live. You got to have strength and energy. Maybe a simple thing like go take a nice little bath. You've never taken a bath for months. I mean, people take showers, but you know, you can sit there with your rubber ducky and have a great time. You know, I mean, Pastor Ken does it all the time. He says he's got several duckies. And so we got to get him for his birthday next time some rubber duckies. So there are other things you can do. Songs.
We call that self-care, right?
Self-care.
So doing something that makes you feel good, something that relieves stress, you know, could be exercise, could be a walk, it could be just something you enjoy. Something
talk.
That gives you, oh, that's a huge one. Yeah. Finding a friend to talk with. Mm-hmm. Psychologists say that having a professional counselor is as effective as having a good friend to, mm-hmm. to speak with.
We're talking today about I said, you know, we're talking about addictions, and the people that helped me most was the guy who already came out of addictions. He can talk to me, listen to him, and he had the same situation. I said, if he did it, I can do it. So, listen, we have to shut down. It's late over here in Thunder Bay. The clock is going. The clock is ticking. But I believe right now you got a little bit of information. We could talk some more on it next time. We'll come back here and talk about it next week. Talk about some even things like, risky behavior or depression and suicide and different things like that. So we want to come back again next week and talk about some things. You know, we got some other guest speakers in our church that can talk about it. They know how to talk about this kind of issue. So we want to pray for you right now. Everyone that's out there, we believe that God is a solution. Hope thou in God. Long as there's a God, there is hope for us, and He will help us no matter what, who we are, how severe we've been. So we want to focusing on the fact that God knows it all and He can help us out. So the solution is the Word of God, God and His Word. What does the Word say? Well, we can get out of it. So let's pray right now. Father, we pray for every person, every man, woman, and child, every family, every teen, every elder person, in the name of Jesus. If there are spiritual forces that's come against them, we take authority over that. All those that are praying with us tonight, we take authority as they agree with us. In Jesus' name, you said if two shall agree on earth, there's more than two here that's agreeing, that this oppression from the evil forces will stop right now and turn around and get out of this situation, remove themselves in the name of Jesus from that person in that home right now. And we ask the angels of God, go forth and cause joy to come in there, cause peace to come in, and cause relief to come in Jesus' name. We pray that everyone also will receive information as they have tonight to start applying the knowledge they received and begin to do something practical to help them to get out of this situation. They can just go for a walk, talk to a friend, listen to music, start praising, read their Bible regular, and start praying and start helping themselves where they can, because they are not helpless. I want you to say this right now, wherever you are, say this, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That I am not helpless.
And I am not helpless.
You are my God.
You are my God.
You are my strength.
You are my strength.
I'm coming out of this. In the name of Jesus,
depression
must leave me. In the name of Jesus,
I am strong.
I am able to make decisions.
And today I am free.
In Jesus' name, amen and
amen.
I want to thank you tonight for watching. And tell us your opinion if you got an opinion. It doesn't matter anyway what your opinion is. What matters is God's opinion is important, what He said about it. So if you've been away from God, just say, Jesus, I thank you right now, and I give you praise for helping me in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday. Amen. Bye-bye from us.
Bless
for
you.
Now. Amen.